The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices. They'll pretend to be patriots, fighting for fairness for all. But they're not even fit to hold office. What they believe doesn't fit with freedom at all. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, and ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out. Mess. We must take America back. Fight for freedom,
freedom and the soul of the USA.
Right here, right now, it's Independence Day. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C., before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, who lift us and heed us, who stand for what's right and stand up to what's wrong. We must take America back, now and forever, with God in his rightful place. Then he will bless and protect the U.S.
We must take America back.
We must take America back.
Good evening, and welcome to the National Intel Report. You're tuned in live this Friday, July 6, 2018. I am your guest host, Chris Hinckley, sitting in for John Stadmiller. This Friday, the week of Independence Day. Speaking of, that's why we had to let that play a little bit. I don't know about you, but I'm a little, and little is a relative term, I'm a little grumpy about the state of things in America. I'm the regular host of Road Warrior Radio on Republic Broadcasting Network, and in the mornings, and I have been talking this week, as we do every year, about some of the, I think, the salient points that we were exhorted not to forget, to remember throughout history. You know, John Adams in particular was a founding father who was very specific and very outspoken about what exactly happened that now we sort of colloquially refer to as the American Revolution. So what exactly happened? What was it all about? I will say in this case, you know, constrained to the opinion of John Adams, which was the sort of general sentiment of the day. I've mentioned it on Road Warrior Radio several times. There is, you know, it's interesting. We've had some things happen in this country since over the last 200 years, since John Adams wrote his letter to Hezekiah Niles in 1818. That letter where he wrote, "The revolution was in the heart, the minds and hearts of the people." That was the revolution. He said, you know, what do we mean by the American Revolution? Do we mean the American War? The revolution was effected before the war commenced. The revolution was in the minds and hearts of the people, a change in their religious sentiments, of their duties and obligations. This radical change in the principles, opinions, sentiments, and affections of the people was the real American Revolution. Then he talked about how important it was for us to round up the documentation of that. What a laborious but certainly interesting and amusing task it would be to search out and collect all of the records, pamphlets, newspapers, even handbills, which in any way contributed to change the temper and views of the people and compose them into an independent nation. But what happened? And in his letter to Hezekiah Niles, he spelled it out specifically. I mentioned this morning. I'll reiterate it. And we'll go from there. But he wrote, John Adams wrote, second president, first vice president under the Constitution, wrote, "It was not until after the annihilation of the French dominion in America that any British ministry had dared to gratify their own wishes and the desire of the nation by projecting a formal plan," listen, "for raising a national revenue from America by parliamentary taxation." What does that sound like? 16th Amendment, perhaps? The first great manifestation of this design was by the order to carry into strict executions those acts of Parliament which were well known by the appellation of the Acts of Trade, which had lain a dead letter, unexecuted for half a century, and some of them, I believe, for nearly a whole one. But this is what happened. So the formal plan for raising a national revenue from America by parliamentary taxation. And this culminates in things like events like the Stamp Act of 1765. But John Adams says this produced in 1760 and 61 an awakening and a revival of American principles and feelings with an enthusiasm which went on increasing till in 1775 it burst out in open violence, hostility, and fury. 1760 and 61. So what was happening? What was this awakening and revival? And the way I have summarized it, I borrow from, I think, Hayek, Friedrich Hayek puts it well in The Road to Serfdom, Chapter 2, The Great Utopia. What was this concept? You know, John Adams, and I've mentioned this throughout the week on Road Warrior Radio as well, John Adams mentioned at various times the spoke of, I suppose I should say, the man whom he believed principally responsible. There was a letter that he wrote to William Tudor June 1st, and he wrote a series of letters on this subject, but he wrote about James Otis's defense of the Boston colonial merchants against the acts of trade as revenue laws and against writs of assistance as tyrannical engines to execute them, as he put it. And basically these acts of trade were just that, revenue laws, and the writs of assistance were like a no-knock raid companion of those, and they could just barge in anytime and take whatever they wanted. Whoever possessed these writs of assistance. And so John Adams talked about how instrumental James Otis was in the shift, and the way that John Adams put it in his June 1 letter to William Tudor, June 1, 1818, he wrote, "I sincerely believe Mr. Otis, James Otis, to have been the earliest and the principal founder of one of the greatest political revolutions that ever occurred among men." That's profound language. "I sincerely believe Mr. Otis, James Otis, to have been the earliest and the principal founder of one of the greatest political revolutions that ever occurred among men." He went on and said, "It seems to me of some importance that his name and character should not be forgotten." These were not men given to hyperbole. So for John Adams to write that he sincerely believed James Otis to have been the earliest and the principal founder of one of the greatest political revolutions that ever occurred among men, and that it seems to him of some importance that his name, James Otis, and character should not be forgotten, those are probably lessons we should hold fast to. Since John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, George Washington, et cetera, these were men who had command of recorded history. Command. You know, they spoke of it like we talk about our ABCs. So for him to say this is a man who was the earliest and principal founder of one of the greatest political revolutions that ever occurred among men, that's quite a statement. And so rhetorically I ask, what do we recall of James Otis today? Well, what did James Otis say? You can go over to John Adams' wiki quote entry. Look up the Works of John Adams, Volume 10, over at the Online Library of Liberty, and you can find more, OLL.libertyfund.org. But you can find, I'll read the wiki quote abridgment, I suppose, of John Adams' letter to William Tudor. You can find more over there, but here are some of the things that, well, this is what John Adams wrote. He wrote, "No man could have written from memory Mr. Otis's argument of 4 or 5 hours against the acts of trade as revenue laws and against writs of assistance as tyrannical engine to execute them the next day after it was spoken. How awkward then would an attempt to do so, would be an attempt to do it after a lapse of 57 years, which is what John Adams was doing. Think about that. What is indelibly etched in someone's mind 57 years after they hear it once? "Nevertheless," he writes, "some of the heads of his discourse are so indelibly imprinted on my mind." 57 years later, they didn't have the interwebs. They didn't have television. They didn't have any recording devices other than pen and paper. "Nevertheless, some of the heads of his discourse are so indelibly imprinted on my mind," again, 57 years later, "that I will endeavor to give you some very short hints of them." And so skipping ahead, John Adams writes that James Otis gave a dissertation on the rights of man. And this is what it's all, I mean, it all comes down to this, basically. "A dissertation on the rights of man in a state of nature, he asserted that every man, merely natural, was an independent sovereign, subject to no law, but the law written on his heart, and revealed to him by his Maker, capital M, in the constitution of his nature and the inspiration of his understanding and his conscience. his right to his life, liberty, no created being could rightfully contest. Nor was his right to his property less incontestable. The club that he had snapped from a tree for a staff of or for defense was his own. His bow and arrow were his own. If by a pebble he had killed a partridge or a squirrel, it was his own. No creature, man or beast, had a right to take it from him. If he had taken an eel or a smelt or a sculpin, it was his property. In short, he sported upon this topic with so much wit and humor, and at the same time, so much indisputable truth and reason, that he was not less entertaining than instructive. He asserted that these rights were inherent and inalienable, that they never could be surrendered or alienated but by idiots or madmen. And all the acts of idiots and lunatics were void and not obligatory by all the laws of God and man. Think about where we are today. You know, every time there's an incident, and as you and I know, they are largely, if not entirely, contrived. They're the acts of lunatics and madmen, but are they? But then we write laws that are, or, you know, promulgate substantive rules of conduct presumed to have the force and effect of law, I should say. And, you know, it's the reverse beggar thy neighbor scenario, where the herd gets punished for the ostensible acts of lunatic or madman. But I digress. So continuing, Adams wrote, "Nor were the poor Negroes forgotten. Not a Quaker in Philadelphia or Mr. Jefferson of Virginia ever asserted the rights of Negroes in stronger terms. Young as I was and ignorant as I was," John Adams writes, "I shuddered at the doctrine he taught, and I have all my lifetime shuddered, and I still shudder at the consequences that may be drawn from such premises. Shall we say that the rights of masters and servants clash and can be decided only by force? I adore the idea of gradual abolitions, but who shall decide how fast and how slow these abolitions shall be made?" And I always ask rhetorically, that's the operative question: who decides? From individual independence, he proceeded to association. It was inconsistent with the dignity of human nature to say that men were gregarious animals like wild horses and wild geese. It surely could offend no delicacy to say they were social animals by nature, that there were mutual sympathies, and above all, the sweet attraction of the sexes, which must soon draw them together in little groups, and by degrees in larger congregations, for mutual assistance and defense. And this must have happened before any formal covenant by express words or signs was concluded. When general councils and deliberations commenced, the object could be no other than the mutual defense and security of every individual for his life, his liberty, and his property. To suppose them to have surrendered these in any way other than by equal rules and general consent was to suppose them idiots or madmen whose acts were never binding. To suppose them surprised by fraud or compelled by force into any other compact, such fraud and such force could confer no obligation. Every man had a right to trample it underfoot whenever he pleased. In short, he, James Otis, asserted these rights to be derived only from nature and the author of nature, that they were inherent, inalienable, and indefeasible by any laws, pacts, contracts, covenants, or stipulations which man could devise. And so that's a sort of paraphrasing of John Adams' recount of James Otis's rousing defense of Boston merchants against the acts of trade as revenue laws and against writs of assistance as a tyrannical engine to execute them, that was the spark that lit the fire that brought us to, well, you know, where we've been at some point. Stick around. We'll talk more when we come back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back. I don't know about you, but I am sweaty with outrage, literally, I guess, and I suppose metaphorically, I don't know, but very, very bothered. Very bothered. I wish that we could get back to a point where, the way John Adams put it, this what happened produced the change, the shift, produced in 1760 and 61, an awakening and a revival of American principles and feelings with an enthusiasm which went on increasing until, in 1775, It burst out in open violence, hostility, and fury. You know, people make the point every once in a while. I bring up the fact that Jefferson was asked, what about corporations? And his response, you know, the response from an aristocrat who was a man of the people. How ironic. A provocative irony in contrast to Hamilton and all he represents. Isn't it funny that we have all of this Hamiltonian BS and garbage floating around these days? Hamilton deserved what he got. That's all I'll say about that. But I think he was a traitor. I think he was, he had some good points, fine. But generally, he was sort of an establishment tool, as far as I'm concerned. So Jefferson was asked about corporations. What about corporations? Jefferson's answer was, the earth belongs in usufruct to the living. And it was that simple. You know? As far as he was concerned, the earth belongs in usufruct to the living, which is an interesting phrase that everyone should study, in my opinion. And he said the dead have neither rights nor powers over it. Now, where are we today? Well, Ivy League pirates, like, folks that come from Skull and Bones, fancy themselves the dictators, the betters of us all. You know, one of them even called himself the decider. I'm the decider. Which was a kid glove compared to the iron fist of his father or his grandfather, I would say. Jefferson said the earth belongs in usufruct to the living. The dead have neither rights nor powers over it. These corporations represent dead things. And the point here is sometimes the question is raised or the issue is raised, the question is asked, what does this Constitution, what does this Declaration of Independence have to do with me? There are sentiments by Jefferson and others to the effect that, you know, each generation basically needs to decide for themselves. And today, bad guys have wired both sides of the discussion together for evil, for malfeasance, basically, have engineered the discussion in such a way that it doesn't matter what point we're taking, it's bad. The Constitution is a living document, and therefore we can make it say whatever we want, sing whatever tune we want it to squeal. Or, you know, we have this document, and so we should abide by it, even though we haven't been since probably at least the Reconstruction. You know, as just a brief example on that, there was the Senate report 93-549 that Senate report 93-549 that was very specific in its language to this effect. And then there's that Army Field Manual, FM3-07, Stability Operations, FM3-07. If you haven't read it, look it up. USACAC.army.mil/CAC2/repository/ FM3-07, the FM's capitalized, /FM3-07.pdf. The FM there is capitalized as well. Anyway, look it up and read Chapter 1. The Army, at least leadership, you know, think tanky folks, acknowledge openly that during the Reconstruction, well, I'll explain when we come back. Stick around. More after this break.
While you were sleeping, they came and took it all away.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and goodbye. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
So, a little contrast. The 93rd Congress, first session, convened a committee back in 1973, the Special Committee on the Termination of the National Emergency. And you can find the documentation from the GPO, the government printing office, published back in 1973 as 24-509-0 is the document. Emergency powers statutes, provisions of federal law now in effect delegating to the executive extraordinary authority in time of national emergency. Hold on. Where have I heard those words before? Oh, yeah, that's right. The guy who is known as the father of the Constitution. Who said in a speech at the Constitutional Convention, June 29 and 1787, In time of actual war, or perceived war, as he went on to elaborate, in time of actual war, and what has been going on since after the Second World War, we were goaded into these contrived conflicts, World War One, World War Two, so-called. That's a fact of history. I've mentioned several times James Perloff's talks in particular, Shadows of Power. James Perloff If, you know, for those who aren't familiar, look up the excerpt from one of his talks titled, it's on YouTube, World War One: Sinking of the Lusitania. And he goes through some shocking evidence, and then he concludes by casually saying, and most of this stuff has all been on the History Channel already. So, you know, backing up just a little bit from John Adams' dissertation on the canon and feudal law, published in 1765, what was that all about? The enslavement of America is what he was talking about. You know, he wrote that there seems to be a direct and formal design on foot to enslave all America. This, however, must be done by degrees. He said before that, you know, that this, the prospect now before us in America ought to, in the same manner, engage the attention of every man of learning to matters of power and of right, that we may be neither led nor driven blindfolded to irretrievable destruction. Wise words. But he opened, that was near the conclusion of his dissertation on the canon and feudal law in 1765. And what was going on in 1765? In a letter in his diary, actually, in 1765, December, John Adams wrote, "The year 1765 has been the most remarkable year of my life. That enormous engine, capital E, fabricated by the British Parliament for battering down all the rights and liberties of America, I mean the Stamp Act, has raised and spread through the whole continent a spirit that will be recorded to our honor with all future generations. In every colony, from Georgia to New Hampshire, inclusively, the stamp distributors and inspectors have been compelled by the unconquerable rage of the people to renounce their offices." That's happened at the IRS, right? The Lois Lerner scandal, and suddenly, you know, that the latest in a you know, myriad controversy. The unconquerable rage of the American people requires them all to renounce their offices, right? No, why not work for the federal government? I mean, that's where the action's at, right? Then you have a cushy, can't get fired position. Such and so universal has been the resentment of the people, Adams wrote, that every man who has dared to speak in favor of the stamps or to soften the detestation in which they are held, how great soever his abilities and virtues had been esteemed before, or whatever his fortune, connections, and influence had been, has been seen to sink into universal contempt and ignominy. Does that happen in America, or did I see in parades this 4th of July girls on a Boy Scout parade float? Oh, look, it's the girls who are not boys that are Boy Scouts. What the hell is happening in this country and has been for a long time? So, James Madison said, in time of actual war, great discretionary powers and are constantly given to the executive magistrate. Constant apprehension of war has the same tendency to render the head too large for the body. A standing military force with an overgrown executive will not long be safe companions to liberty. The means of defense against the against foreign danger. Oh, you mean the kind that the CIA creates? And Richard Sakwa writes that NATO exists to manage the threats created by its existence. The CIA, every other alphabet soup, the same thing. You mean Operation Cyclone and the Mujahideen that Zbigniew Brzezinski bragged about to Carter? That those kinds of threats, the means of defense against foreign danger, have always been the instruments of tyranny at home. Rinse and repeat. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. So James Madison wrote that, and Senate Report 93-549, Special Committee on the Termination of the National Emergency, issued a report titled Emergency Powers Statutes, Provisions of Federal Law, now in effect delegating to the executive extraordinary authority in time of national emergency. It sounds familiar. This was a committee to terminate the national emergency, a special Senate committee to terminate the national emergency. And guess what happened? September 18, 2001, the Bush administration got this report, actually 98-505, reissued. Updated September 18, 2001, National Emergency Powers, which draws from the Senate's work in 1973. The Senate leveraged, harnessed, or whatever you call it, enlisted the computing power of the Air Force in 1973, which is the only organization, according to them, at the time, with the computing power to do the research. And they whittled down the thousands of pieces of legislation to 470 provisions of federal law. They said these hundreds of statutes delegate to the president. This is from the foreword of the report. These proclamations give, and they mentioned the declared states of emergency dating back, well, maybe to the Lincoln era. Anyway, these proclamations give force to 470 provisions of federal law. And again, that was the whittled down list. These hundreds of statutes delegate to the president extraordinary powers ordinarily exercised by the Congress, which affect the lives of American citizens in a host of all-encompassing manners. This is from the Senate report. This vast range of powers taken together confer enough authority to rule the country without reference to normal constitutional processes. Everybody keeps saying, martial law, martial law. Yeah, it happened back in the Reconstruction era. I'll get to that in a second. We got to go to the phones. Under the powers delegated by these statutes, the president may seize property, organize and control the means of production, seize commodities, assign military forces abroad, institute martial law, seize and control all transportation and communication, regulate the operation of private enterprise, restrict travel, and in a plethora of particular ways, if that wasn't bad enough, in a plethora of particular ways, control the lives of all American citizens. That's pretty un-American, quite frankly. And the further evidence of that, go to find a copy of FM 3-07, Stability Operations. And refer to Chapter 1. Which states, during the Reconstruction, following the Civil War, military forces maintained order and provided security. These forces also initiated comprehensive measures to establish – and this was published in 2007, right? These forces also initiated comprehensive measures to establish new state governments, hold elections, ensure the well-being. It's what we're doing in other countries now, you know, Afghanistan and so forth, freedom and democracy. Ensure the well-being of freed slaves and provide for economic and social development. Military forces assume three roles during Reconstruction in the South. As an occupational force following the war, as a military government under the Reconstruction Acts of 1867, as a supporting force for to elected state governments until 1877. But really, if you read the Senate report, Senate Report 93-549, when did that all stop? It didn't. How free are we? Here's a hint at how free we are. Anybody partake in fireworks? You know, John Adams wrote to Abigail July 3rd, 1776, very excited. This was what he wrote. The second day of July, because that was when Congress voted unanimously to declare independence, the language was the specific language was ratified July 4th. Second day of July, 1776, will be the most memorable epic in the history of America, he wrote. I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance. The day of deliverance. From what? From the freedom from coercion and manipulation and so on. By solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty, period. That's a good place to start. It ought to be solemnized, he wrote, with pomp and parade, with shows, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other, from this time forward, forevermore. Guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations. So were there fireworks? Were there guns? Oh, no, we can't do that. We're a helmet and bubble wrap society now. But were there fireworks? Oh, yes, of course, but only in the prescribed area by the prescribed professionals of the prescribed variety at the prescribed time. That's how free we are. Congratulations. It's 2 days later, after July 4th. Independence Day is, was it July 2nd? Because that's what John Adams said would be commemorated as the day it ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance, because that's when the decision was made unanimously. But again, going back, has every successive generation committed to the same principles and cause? Or is it just the dead, you know, pirating the world on the high seas again? You know, I call them Ivy League pirates, because the Jolly Rogers, their flag, you know, at Skull and Bones at Yale and so forth, they love the dead stuff and piracy. It's just disgusting. But it's 2 days later now. So what happens if you go out and fire, you know, light off some fireworks, harmless fireworks? Oh, yeah, no, the ordinances don't allow that. It's too late for that, or, yeah, you can only do that on the prescribed day. That's how free we are. Congratulations, America. This is where we've gone to. Absolutely unbelievable. Anyway, I find it deeply disturbing, very upsetting. This is not what I understand or have was led to believe is America. And so what was John Adams writing about? I believe that Friedrich Hayek summed it up very well in The Road to Serfdom, Chapter 2, The Great Utopia, in these words. There were two types of freedom. There was, you know, there was this one freedom that we apparently won, this liberty, the freedom to be left alone, essentially. And then the socialists came along and said that freedom's not worth having unless you have the freedom from necessity, the freedom from want. And who's to say? Everyone was happy before the turn of the turn of the 20th century without needing a bunch of stuff. And along came Edward Bernays, and if you watch Adam Curtis's four-part BBC documentary series titled Century of the Self, part one is, what's it titled, Happiness Machines, I think. And it's basically the Tofflerite, Alvin Toffler concept, Future Shock, Alvin Toffler, the Tofflerite concept of the prosumer, producer-consumer, you know, producer of last resort, consumer of last resort, lender, borrower of last resort, all that crap we got throughout the 20th century. That basically enslaved America. enslaved, put the golden handcuffs on the middle class, essentially, and then swapped out the golden handcuffs for, you know, a more nefarious set along the way. And here we are. But, you know, if you have to engineer this freedom from want, first you have to have the want or the necessity. And so that's where Bernays came along. You know, remember he said that was the whole deal. That was what he was trying to do, to engineer society such that people didn't buy based on their needs anymore. They bought based on their, you know, Freudian desires. Again, disgusting. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, healthcare has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
If you be my bodyguard, I can be your long lost pal. I can call you Betty, Betty, when you call me, you can call me Al. A man walks down the street, he says, why am I short of attention? Got a short little span of attention, and all my nights are so long. Where's my wife and family? What if I die here? Who'll be my role model now that my role model is gone? He ducked back down the alley with some roly-poly little bat-faced girl. All along, along, there were incidents and accidents. There were hints and allegations.
Welcome back.
If you'll be my bodyguard, I can be your long-lost pal.
In a letter to his wife, Abigail Adams, John Adams wrote April 27, 1777, "Posterity, you will never know how much it cost the present generation to preserve your freedom. I hope you will make a good use of it. If you do not, I shall repent in heaven that I ever took half the pains to preserve it." And what was he talking about? You look down through the vast expanse of recorded history, and there is tyranny and oppression throughout, from end to end. And again, in John Adams' dissertation on the canon and feudal law, he speaks to that at the opening of his dissertation. Well, he opens this way: "Ignorance and inconsideration are the two great causes of the ruin of mankind," quote unquote. This is an observation of Dr. Tillotson with relation to the interest of his fellow men in a future and immortal state, but it is of equal truth and importance if applied to the happiness of men in society on this side of the grave. In the earliest ages of the world, absolute monarchy seems to have been the universal form of government. Kings and a few of their great counselors and captains exercised a cruel tyranny over the people, who held a rank in the scale of intelligence in those days, but little higher than the camels and elephants that carried them and their engines to war. By what causes it was brought to pass that the people in the Middle Ages became more intelligent in general would not perhaps be possible in these days to discover. But the fact is certain, and wherever a general knowledge and sensibility have prevailed among the people, arbitrary government and every kind of oppression have lessened and disappeared in proportion. Man has certainly, well, that's probably far enough. So, wherever a general knowledge and sensibility have prevailed among the people, arbitrary government, and every kind of oppression have lessened and disappeared in proportion. This was a sentiment that Jefferson expressed as well. Enlighten the people generally, and tyranny and oppression of body and mind will vanish like evil spirits at the dawn of day. So what are we talking about? What freedom was John Adams talking about? And again, I think that Friedrich Hayek sums it up very well in The Road to Serfdom. It's the freedom from coercion. So in Chapter 2, The Great Utopia, Hayek wrote, "The subtle change in meaning to which the word freedom was subjected." I'll talk more about that in the second hour. Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. "I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, 'I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it.' I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite. listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.